the area that I'm in charge of. And so we're going to be putting 10,000 Bibles or New Testaments together starting next Wednesday, a week from tonight. Well, actually, we'll start on Thursday mornings, but we'll come here and we'll hear the preaching on Wednesday night with Jeff Bartell. He's an excellent pastor. So come to the nightly services each night and come and help make Bibles Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll wrap up on Sunday morning. Pastor Brian will be wrapping everything up. We'll go out to the armory and pray over the Bibles, New Testaments that we've done, and we'll go from there. But it's going to be a busy week coming up. Of course, what's new at HBF? Every week is busy here, so we do a lot at this church. So I want to talk tonight about the world is upside down. I don't know if you've watched the news a lot lately and see things on the radio and things that are going on. We had a lady that actually killed three of her children, and they had the trial, and there was one guy that held out because he just couldn't get over the fact that this woman killed her three children. And that's the approach he should have had. But right now, our world is just, they forgive everything, they let things slide, and they basically are saying, good is evil and evil is good. Of course, we hear about that in the Bible. I've been teaching through the book of Malachi in my class, and that's exactly what was going on 400 years before Christ. The priests, the people were basically rebelling against God, and they basically had the same approach that evil was good and good was evil. And yet, God let them sit for 400 years before Christ showed up. So, guys, we're coming down to the end. But I really want to talk about today that the world is upside down. And again, I think you guys can kind of understand where I'm at. So if you turn over in your Bible, I want to go over to Acts chapter 17. And I want to read 1 through 6. So I don't have a handout or anything tonight. It's old school, so you just have to hang with me. But I want to get across the attitude that I see even in Christianity today. And I think that a lot of times Christians are living for the now. They're living for themselves. They're living for now when we should be living for eternity. I find I have to fight that in my own life. And I'm like, we're getting down to the end. What should I really be focused on? Eternity. I should really be focused on the judgment seat of Christ. That's where our focus should be. And so just bear with me a little bit tonight and we'll get through this and we'll get out of here probably in a decent hour. So Acts chapter 17, I want to read 1 through 6. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the, what's it say? The Scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And when Jason had received... Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. I'm going to just stop right there. And so really, that's a really fantastic place to look at evangelism, because basically what you're seeing is Paul and a group of people going to a place that hasn't heard the gospel and presenting it point blank. And you always get two responses. You always get people that believe and people that don't believe. Same thing today as 2,000 years ago. And that's just what's going to happen. So be prepared for it. Some people will believe you and some people want to fight you for it, for just telling them the gospel. And so in this passage, Paul and his team are on their second missionary trip and are making quite an impact for Christ. Everyone's talking about them and this Jesus. Some good and some bad. What a testimony and what a statement. That's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be telling our friends, our neighbors, people at work, people at the gas station, anybody that will listen to us, the good news of Jesus Christ. What do we got to lose? You're either going to accept it or reject it. And our job is just to get it out there. Okay. So let me ask you. In verse 6, it says the people of this town are accusing Paul and his team of the group that have turned the world upside down. In reality, they're just turning it right side up. And so, you know, that's it. What viewpoint are you looking at the gospel from? What viewpoint do you look at life from? And it all depends whether you're saved or you're not saved. Now, I don't know about you. I used to like to go fishing. And then I started this new thing called ministry. And I don't do a lot of fishing anymore. But you go fishing, and my wife loves to fish, and she likes to fish with a cork. Now, I'll fish all types. I don't care. If I can catch fish, I'm going to do that. And so my wife likes the cork. And so you can attach that cork on your line two different ways. You can attach it from the top. You can attach it from the bottom. It depends on, and it'll show you what color floats on top or bottom. But yet, the world looks at a bobber, basically kind of like we do and the fish do. If you're saved, you're looking at it from a heavenly view and you're looking at it from the top of the water. But if you are a lost person, and the Bible basically calls lost people, calls them fish, they're looking at it from the bottom side. Totally different. Two different viewpoints. And that's why you have people go, well, I don't understand why people can't understand the truth. They don't have common sense. They just don't see things like we do. Well, let me tell you this. I tell my class this all the time. Not everybody's normal like us. Then they look at me and they kind of wonder about that because they know I'm not normal. But here's the deal. That's the viewpoints you have. The reason that people don't see things that you see is because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their viewpoint is going to be totally, totally different than ours. So that's our job, is to give them the gospel. So when you look at verse 5, it says, but the Jews which believe not moved with envy. How many of you have had anybody get upset with you when you gave them the gospel? Anybody? Pat, have you had some people? Ron, you've had people get upset? And just, you know, the thing is, not to get shocked by it, just expect it. Because that's just going to happen. That's the same thing that happened with Paul and his team. And if you go back and look at all the things that were done to Paul, I mean, the things that happened to us don't seem pretty small. And so the story sounds very familiar. And this story here where they wanted to pull Paul and his team out and kind of wanted to string them up sounds very familiar with what they did with our Lord Jesus Christ. Same thing. They didn't like what he said. They wanted to shut him up, even as far as taking him to the cross. Okay. You know, Christ was taken prisoner, basically. He was falsely accused, brought before the leaders, crucified. We see some of the same things happen with Paul and the stories in his life. The difference here was that Christ pulled Paul and his team to safety. So again, the viewpoint that you will have will be determined by whether you have a relationship with Christ or you don't. Okay. Because again, when you got saved, you started seeing things from a whole different perspective. So the world has an upside down viewpoint. Matthew 4:19 is the verse that Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. And so we need to get fishing. And whether you're using a cork or not, but you need to realize the people that we're trying to reach have a different viewpoint. They're going to see things different. And until we give them Christ, they're not going to see things how we see them. So again, the people that we come across with every week, people at Price Chopper, at Casey's, McDonald's, school, work, wherever, again, they do not think like we do. Why? Tell me why. If they do not know Christ, they're not going to think like us. And when we have people coming into our church here and we go, I don't understand why that person comes into our, they're smoking a cigarette in the parking lot, they're doing this, they're doing that. Hey, maybe they don't know Christ. Give them a break. Even when they come in here using a different Bible than we normally use, give them a break. Teach them why we use a King James Bible, and then we'll go from there. Okay? So we need to have a little compassion. So when you turn on the news and you watch what's going on, whether it's in Washington, D.C., Kansas City, Harrisonville, or Iran, which seems to be all the what you see, we see people with no morals, no decency, no common sense, and no truth. What's that tell you? They don't know Christ. So we need to be about getting the gospel out. They don't see the truth because they don't have the truth. Okay? They're upside down in their thinking and their theology. So it's our job to share Jesus with them so Jesus can change them from the inside out. Jesus will change their view and Jesus will turn them right side up. We just cannot expect people to act right side up if they don't know Christ. Now I know I'm beating that to death. So, you know, hopefully that sinks in tonight. And when we are commanded, you know, we're not necessarily asked to take the gospel in Matthew 28. We're commanded to. That is a command. That's not like, Christian, if you feel like it, you need to go out on the street or you need to go tell your neighbor about Jesus Christ. That is a commandment. God expects us. Christ expects us to do that. So we need to be vigilant about sharing our faith with the people around us. And this church does a good job. I'm talking to the choir. I'm just trying to, help us to really focus on that in our life. We got a team right now in Kosovo that's doing the same thing. They're out on the streets. They're going to be witnessing to people, and we need to be praying for them this week. And I hope they come back and they are just so fired up that they'll do it here. Because I think the problem again here is we get a little lax in our own city, in our own country, in our home place. And so we just kind of go to sleep. The Bible says we shouldn't do that. First of all, evangelism is going to start at home, then it goes across the street, and then around the world, and we know that. One of the other things that I noticed in this passage is that it costs this team to preach the gospel. Sometimes it's going to cost us. Turn over to Acts chapter, let's back up a chapter, go to Acts chapter 9, Acts 16, and we're going to read 9 through 30. Acts 16, 9 through 30. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Hopefully it's one of yours. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and to the next day Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, and brought us her mass, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now I'm going to stop here for just a minute and make a comment. here is this lady that's dabbling in witchcraft and sorcery and probably demon possessed. And she admits who Paul is. And if you notice in the Bible, any time that Jesus or Paul gets in front of somebody who's demon possessed or has a problem, they always admit who they are. They always admit who Jesus is because they know him. And here's the same thing. Verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. And he brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Was that true? Not really. Verse 21. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Was that true? No. Neither to observe being Romans. Wasn't true either. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now again, I don't know about you, but if that was me, let's just say that was me and my brother friend over here, Pat. We've been in jail, a lot of jails together, haven't we? Mostly preaching the good stuff. But anyway, if that was us, I'd be sitting here crying to God going, God, you know we were preaching the gospel. You know we were doing what's right. We've been accused falsely. We've been beaten falsely and we're thrown in jail. Get us out of here. You know, have somebody bring us a cake with a file in it or something. Get me out of here. I don't deserve to be here. But that's not what you see. They don't do that. They're singing songs. Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prisoners' doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light. And I think this one really was a real light. And sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He must have been listening to Paul. He must have heard Paul and his team somewhere during the week preaching. But it took all this to get him to that point. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thou house. So it goes back to my point. Sometimes it's going to cost you to preach the gospel. What did it cost Paul and Silas at this specific time? A beating. You know, I'm kind of shocked at Silas, you know, not shaking Paul and saying, Saul, don't you remember we're Roman citizens? We don't have to take this. And yet they took it. I don't know why they did, except all I can figure out is the Holy Spirit basically just told Paul and Silas, just go with it because I have a purpose for this. Sometimes it's going to cost us to preach the gospel. So hopefully it's not always going to be a beating though. Same story that we saw in the town of Thessalonica, the chapter after, in chapter 17, with different circumstances. These guys are troubling our city, verse 20, that wasn't true. These guys are teaching unlawful customs, that wasn't true. And these two guys, these two unjust accusations led to unjust penalties, a public whipping and a prison stay. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. That may happen at some point. It may happen. I heard there's a man this week on a plane, and he was witnessing to a guy, and a very famous speaker, in fact, Christian, well known, and talked to this man for quite some time till finally something just got in this guy. It was like he was possessed by a demon and he just turned on him and jumped on him. And I'm like, wow, that's quite a story. That hasn't happened to me yet. So, not that I'm wanting it to, because I'm kind of a chicken. I'd probably be hiding under my seat, but, that's how it happens. It's going to happen, guys. We need to be prepared of what the world's going to do with us when we preach the gospel, and we just need to be expecting the unexpected. Again, these guys are lost. They're under the control of Satan. They're out there doing their own thing. And again, the question was, why did Paul and Silas endure this? Because they believed the Lord wanted them to. I haven't got a better answer. If you got a better one than that, come and tell me, because I don't see one. They had a get out of jail free card and they didn't use it. Okay? They were both Roman citizens. So did Paul and Silas know that enduring the accusations and the whippings and the jail sentence would enable them to preach to this jailer? I don't know. I'm thinking it probably did. Well, I know one thing. God used it, and the man and his house were saved. Paul and Silas were willing to give up their rights to give out the gospel, to be able to lead people to Christ. You see, Paul understood true freedom. Because Paul was free from the Old Testament law. He was free from sin, from religion, from tradition, from philosophy, from the world, even his rights, even his citizenship. You know, if you go back and look at Paul, Paul sat under the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the top rabbis that taught in the Jewish religion. And I would say he's probably one of his top students. And yet he considered that all dung when he was one to Christ. Everything in back he considered as dung. So Philippians 3:8, in fact, if you want the reference to that. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read 23 through 28. Because really, if I had to pick somebody in the Bible probably to be my hero or somebody to look up to, Paul would be at the top of the list. There's some good guys in the New Testament. There's some good people in the Old Testament. But when you look at what Paul endured to get the gospel out, my goodness, for just somebody, you know, us getting the gospel out to somebody, you know, even a rejection hurts. But I mean, my goodness, nothing what Paul went through. In verse 23, let me see, 2 Corinthians 11. I got to get to the right place. So bear with me. Second Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. Here's Paul speaking. And he's talking to a group of people that are basically asking him, you know, you really don't have the credentials you need, Paul. Verse 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. So the Jews, when they would catch you for doing something wrong and beat you, they could only go up to 39 stripes at a time. Because if they went over that, they were in danger of killing you. So they had it kind of brought to the limit. 5 times, Paul says, I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's what he endured getting the gospel out. That's what he endured preaching from town to town. And then, on top of all that, he throws in verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So all the situations and all the problems and all the churches that he had been starting, he got those. And so that's enough to bring you down. I mean, Pastor Brian, we pray for Pastor Brian all the time because just the weight of the church and the people in this church and the problems that are going around the church and the counseling that he does has to bring him down. And so the pastor's tried to take some of that load off of him. But he's not being ran out of towns and beaten up and shipwrecked and all that in the meantime either. So, I mean, think about what Paul's going through. And again, so it should make us think, well, you know, I don't want to witness to this person because they might reject me. Come on, we need to grow up, put some big pants on and move on. Okay. So, and I know, again, I'm probably talking to the choir, but I just want to, we need to realize the importance of getting the word out. And we've been pushing on that very hard this year. In our vision conference, everything was based up on evangelism. Our verse for Bible conference coming up is the next verse in line in Psalms 126, verse 6. And so again, to go out and evangelize and get that word out, you're going to have a Bible with you. So they go hand in hand. So our vision conference on one side of the gear and our Bible conference on the other side go hand in hand because you got to have a Bible to preach it. And people in different countries that don't have a Bible, they can't, number one, they can't grow in the Lord. They can't grow in the knowledge and it's not going to give them the confidence they need to get out on the street and do the preaching and send the gospel out. So we need to evangelize. We need to get Bibles out. Okay. So Paul went through a lot to preach Christ and start churches, train believers and all that. And so do you remember at the end of Paul's third missionary trip when he was warned not to go back to Jerusalem? How many of you remember that? I mean, he is dead set to go back to Jerusalem and they keep telling him, don't go back there. There are several people, almost somebody in every town was telling him, if you go back to Jerusalem, that may be the end of you. Okay. But it didn't persuade him not to. In Acts chapter 21, let's go back and look at this one verse. Acts 21:11. It gives you kind of the mindset of the Apostle Paul here. And when Paul, verse 11, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and he bound his own hands and feet and he said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, here's what I want you to see. What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. So his own teammates were trying to keep him from going back to Jerusalem. But his mindset was, there are some people in Jerusalem that I care about and I love. Maybe people he'd went to the synagogue with, learned with. There were some people there he cared about. He wanted them to get the gospel. And he was willing to die, even if it meant to get them the gospel. That's the attitude he had. I think a lot of times we lose our focus on what we need to be living for. Again, I think a lot of times, and again, I'm just talking to myself. A lot of times I get focused on my job. I get focused on things around the house, focused on what I need to be doing. And I need to really realize the older I get, I retired at the first of the year. The older I get, the more I realize all that stuff's going to pass away. We need to focus on what's going to last for eternity. Okay. How's your viewpoint? How's your viewpoint? Okay. Is there anything keeping you from totally living for Christ? Because if it is, you need to get rid of it. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of course, we use 2 Timothy chapter 2 a lot here at Heartland. It's our discipleship chapter and verse. But let me just read 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay. So the Christian life is a lot like being a soldier. Are we obedient to the Lord? Are we obedient? In verse 1 that I just read, it says to be strong in what? The grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, we are to teach faithful men. And again, that's our discipleship verse. You all know that. We are to teach faithful men and expect them also to go and teach other faithful men. Now, not everybody that you teach is going to turn around and disciple someone else. But we should at least teach them with that mentality. Okay. Everyone I've ever taught, I've tried to teach them, this is what I'm teaching you, and I want you to learn this, and I want you to take it out and teach it to someone else. Does that always happen? Again, it depends on the individual, but we should strive for that. And then it says we are to, in verse 3, endure hardness. Hardness in our country here, we think we have it hard. We don't have it hard. When you start reading missionaries' stories of where, you know, what they went through, things that they've endured through wars, through famines, through, you know, through all kinds of things. And, you know, their life, sometimes I read them, I'm like, I just want to almost sit down and cry. And I'm not the crying type, guys. I really don't. But there was a lady that was in New Guinea that she and her husband, at 11 years old, she was from a little town in Iowa. And the pastor that was there, they were having a tent revival that used to be big back in the day. And he was asking for people to go to the mission field, and a little 11-year-old girl stood up and walked forward. Well, that girl grew up in the church, got trained, a lot like we train you here at HBF. They sent her to a language school over in Europe. She met her husband, were married, and they were sent to New Guinea right at the beginning of World War II. The first white woman to go into the interior of New Guinea. And so they wasn't there about 6 months when the Japanese came in and took over the island, put her and her husband in separate concentration camps, and things got worse from there. Her husband ended up dying in the concentration camp. She led a women's Bible study in the camp that she was at. And she saw people coming to know the Lord because the conditions were so bad. And the focus was off of themselves. And now it's like, okay, I need somebody, something to get me through this. And a lot of them received Christ as their Savior. And a lot of them would pray and thank God for the war, because if the war hadn't have happened, they wouldn't have got saved. And it just breaks my heart to hear stories like that. I'm like, people go through tragedies in their life. Maybe you guys have too. Maybe there was something that woke you up. Maybe you had to go through somebody dying or some tragedy. I hope not. But again, we need to be focused on getting the gospel out through the good times and through the bad times. And so for all of you, I know some of you have had some loved ones pass away just lately. I think you've had your mom just passed away, right? Okay. Use those times to witness to your family, your friends, the people around you, because they're hurting. They need to hear the gospel. And I mean, I'm looking around, several people have lost loved ones lately. I'm trying to make this a really practical message tonight for all of us. I'm preaching to myself as much as you guys. We need to be about the Lord's business, and we need to stop focusing on ourselves, okay? How's your viewpoint? Which viewpoint are you looking at? Okay? And again, we need to focus on the end in sight, the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. It seems like I had another verse or two to give you, but I can't find it in my notes. So that's basically what I have for you tonight. I know I'm just a little bit early, so we'll probably wait 10 minutes for the other class to come in to pray. So I guess Jeff's in the back, but yep, he's back there, poked his head up. So, but we won't want to start till they get here in a few minutes. So we got a few minutes just to relax and go get a drink, get ready to, for our prayer service. But I thank you guys for coming and listening to me. And, hopefully some of this is sinking in, because I need it myself all the time, because I've got to stay focused. Stay focused on the mission. And just let God give the people to you that you need, and just give them the gospel, and then they receive it. Fantastic. If they don't, move on to the next, and just keep going. All right. So we're going to break for just a few minutes. Yes, I will close in prayer, and then we'll be back. Father in heaven, we come before you today, and Lord, we do thank you for the rain that we had. I know it was a little not the best in getting here, and nobody likes getting wet, Lord, but our grass needs it, our crops need it, Lord, so we thank you for that. I want to pray for the people that's in Kosovo right now, Lord, that are out getting the gospel out this week, helping our missionaries, Vinny and Megan, Lord, and they're just an awesome couple, Lord, that have a desire to get the gospel out. And I pray that we would just have the energy that they have. I pray that would be inflicted upon the team that's over there, and they'd bring it back here, and we would just take it and run with it, Lord. But I just pray that you would use us. Put people in our lives that need the gospel. Help us not to just refrain from speaking to them and talking to them, but help us just to get the gospel to them. Lord, I pray for the people that are hurting right now, that's lost loved ones, and people that are in the hospital. I know almost everybody in our class that I teach right now have somebody that's dealing with something major. So I just pray for them. I pray for Pastor Brian and all the other pastors are out right now. I just pray you'd give them the time of rest and get them back safely. Lord, I just ask your blessing upon tonight. And I just pray that you would get the honor and glory from our lives, and that we would be diligent about seeking you and getting your word out. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.